Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 259th episode of Social Suplex's podcast with a proclivity of positivity about AEW. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwoods. I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how is you doing?
Hey, it's Christmas season, so I am doing wonderful. December's here. Next week, I got the green light from my wife, so I've never missed the winter is coming. It's always in Texas, though. This year, they moved to Kansas City, so they're doing Dynamite Winners is coming in Kansas City, and then they're doing Collision Winners coming in St. Louis on Thursday, the next day. So I'm driving up to Kansas City. I got first row seats to Dynamite Winners coming, and then I'm driving to St. Louis, which is only 3.5 hours away, for the next day. We're going to stay in Kansas City tonight, driving to St. Louis the next day. And then I'm going to watch Collision, then come back to Oklahoma on Friday. So I will actually see the Continental Classic again for the second year in a row. Because last year I got to see the Oklahoma City and Tulsa shows. But this year it'll be the Kansas City and St. Louis shows. So that'll be fun. And they got some big matches announced. So we'll talk about that soon. Because they are doing better in AEW of announcing matches week in advance to try to draw people to the live audience. And so, well,
they straight up, like, I mean, we won't spoil it because we'll mention, I mean, actually, I guess it could be the one thing that we say in regards to Dynamite before we get into our actual review. They had that weird segment with Chris Jericho for his New York Minute where he just straight up just, I mean, it's like literally, like, when we're talking promo, it was promotion because then he ran down Death Before Dishonor, all the shows that he would be that were coming up, including All in Texas, and then mentioned who he was going to be revealing his opponent against at Death Before Dishonor on Ring of Honor, and it's just, I mean, like, it was weird. But they've been getting out there and they've been pushing the shows they've got coming up, and they've been really trying to sell and get people to buy tickets. I mean, they're going all out for it.
Yes, and it's, you know, when stuff is going wrong, you have to try something. You can't just sit out back and let stuff happen. You got to try to aggressively sell tickets. And they used to be able to just say, hey, tickets on sale, and it sell out, and it was great. Mm-hmm. Or they knew they were going to sell 4,000 or 5,000 tickets. Well, now they got to hustle a little harder. They got to grind a little harder, you know? The prices are starting to come down. Like, I got first row for Dynamite, third row for Collision. I think I may have paid total $250. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I hate that AEW's not selling tickets. I want them to sell out. I want them to raise prices. I want to hate it. You know, I want to hate it. I want to complain because everybody's buying the tickets too fast. That's my ultimate goal. But right now, they're kind of in the ticket slump, and it's working out for my wallet really, really well. Because honestly, I probably, if I was like, even back in the day, I probably would just go to Kansas City. But shit, I got a third row ticket for $83. Okay, I'm going to St. Louis.
I mean, how can you say no to that, though? Yeah. But again, like, you look at the instances of just like how expensive, I mean, Kendrick Lamar is going on tour. Tickets for those shows are fucking ridiculous. And then just prices for other WWE shows are just like super high. And like a lot of people can't afford them if they can. Dude. More power to you. But hey, me and Floyd are not upset about having to pay less for tickets for shows because, I mean, look.
I feel it's going to come back around. Everything
it
is
will.
Cynical.
No, it will.
AEW, in my opinion, will get hot again. And tickets will go up, and I'll be like, oh, God, I can't believe tickets are this high. I'm shaking my fist. Because I always say, I drive this home a lot, that this is a fan podcast. So yes. I don't apply for media credentials, ever. I don't ask for free tickets. Every ticket I have, I pay for. So as a person that has a budget in life and, you know, and everything, of course, I want to get as much as I can for as little as possible.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, so if you ever hear me talking about that kind of stuff. But, yeah. And I want to throw this out there. If you're doing a pay-per-view, you got to have the I Was There shirt. I'm never going to let that go. But I did have one question before we get started the show for you, Austin.
Yes.
It is the Christmas season. What is your favorite Christmas song? What is your go-to?
My favorite Christmas song. Well, first of all, I should give a shout-out that my boy Ed Sheeran actually just released a brand-new Christmas song called Under the Tree. It's for some Netflix movie or whatever. That doesn't really matter to me. But it's his second Christmas song he's released on himself. First one was with Elton John, and it was corny, cheesy, insanity, like so much cheese, like it was overflowing with cheese. And it was cute. I liked it.
Like but Green Bay cheese? Like grating the cheese?
No, Green Bay cheese is just bitter, whiny, and can't handle the fact that the North is run by the Detroit Lions. 12-0 fucking bitches. No, this was just cheese in the fact of like oh, it was very corny. But the song that just came out, it's called Under the Tree by Ed Sheeran, is the type of music I want from Ed Sheeran when it comes to Christmas music. It's sad, depressing, I'm alone for the holidays, please come home for Christmas, like I miss my girl on Christmas. This is the shit that I want from him. But for me, I would say easy Christmas fave for me is Last Christmas. Last Christmas, I think, by Wham! Is an easy pick for me. You muted, my man?
Yeah, so it's, Last Christmas gave you heart, and the very next day you gave it away. I don't know. I can't get with that song. It's like depressing as fuck.
I love that shit though. Oh, I don't know, man. I just there's something about because I mean, as a big family man, like I do love songs about like coming home and being with family, with the people you care about for the holidays. Because to me, that matters more than just like the snow or just Santa Claus or any of that kind of stuff. Like, to me, it's like those songs, like, Please Come Home for Christmas, that kind of stuff. Like, I'll Be Home This Christmas. Like, those are the songs I really, really, really vibe with. Because, I mean, I feel like those fit for the holidays more. It's sad, but I don't know, man. It's just something about those songs that really click with me. I'll have to send you the Ed one, because I really, really like the Ed one.
So, let me tell you. I'm going to give my five, because, you know, I think about this all the time.
Sure.
So, number one is Nat King Cole, A Christmas Song, the Christmas song. Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. I just think that's one of the best songs.
Yeah, there you go.
Chris Brown's version of This Christmas.
Oh.
From the movie This Christmas and all that stuff. Yeah, that would be number two. Number three, Alvin and Chipmunks. Chris. Yeah, I mean, immediately puts me in the mood for Christmas. Number four is called Let It Snow by Boys to Men.
From
Notable Christmas Interpretations. And number five, can't go without my girl Mariah. I can't go without my girl Mariah. Mariah Carey.
See, I respect that, but to me, I don't know. That song to me has just been absolutely just hammered into the ground for me. I respect it. I like it. I know it's a holiday classic. I am so tired of that song.
Let me tell you, I work at home by myself. I literally only hear that song when I want to hear it.
I wish that was the case for me as
well. Like when that first year, I think it was shortly after the song came out for the original time or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was working at KB Toys. That store doesn't even exist anymore. And they played that song 20 times a day, 30 times a day, right?
Oof.
So for a few years, I didn't really, I wouldn't say I didn't care for it. I was just kind of sick of hearing it.
Right.
As I got away from it and came back, it's also one of the featured songs on a movie called Love Actually, which is my favorite Christmas movie. So
until the one with the Chiefs comes out.
It came out last week.
Did you watch it?
It was great. I watched it with me and my wife watched it. It was every Hallmark Christmas. It was like, you know how they say there's this game. It's just this game with a different skin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Hallmark Christmas movie with a Chiefs skin. So I love it because it was Chiefs and it was a lot about Chiefs history. Trent Green was in it. Andy Reid. They had a whole bunch of people, you know, a whole bunch of names were in it. Mecole Hardman. And it was funny because, you know, they kind of got the second tier Chiefs. They didn't get Patrick Mahomes or Kelsey. They got Donna Kelsey, the mom, but they didn't get the big names. But they got Mecole Hardman, Trey Smith, and George Karlaftis, right? And I figured they would get Chris Jones because he just seems like a ham that would do that, and he wasn't in the movie. But it was just a solid movie, you know. Like I would never be like, everybody should see this movie. No,
sure.
It's every Hallmark Christmas movie. I personally like Hallmark Christmas movies because I personally like just cheesy ass rom coms. I love cheesy movies. That's my shit. So I loved it, but I would never like, hey, you should really watch this now,
right?
Not unless you're a Chiefs fan and you. I fall into this world. I am a Chiefs fan that loves rom-coms. So, yes, that was perfect. Christmas movie rom-coms. Perfect for me.
Yeah, it was a very specific thing that worked specifically for you.
Yeah, so most people don't fit into all those things together. So, no, it was great for me. My wife was like, you know, it was cute, you know. It was a movie that happened. Yeah. You know, Tiffany liked it. You know, she's from Kansas City, so she liked it. And it was like, yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan, you like those type of movies, it was great. But, yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, like on a scale of 1 to 10, for me, it was like a 7. But I'd say if you like, hey, being unbiased, it was like a 4 or 5.
There you go.
Good. Yeah. No,
at least you're respectful.
Yeah, so no. It meant a lot to me because I was just like, because again, you know, it's like what you went through with the Lions, right? My whole life, the Chiefs and the Lions might as well have been synonymous. We had never been in before this run, we had never been in an AFC championship game. We had we had basically done nothing. So the fact that I'm like going to London and all over the world, everywhere I go see Chiefs jerseys, and now we're getting Chiefs Hallmark movies and all this stuff. It's like I'm living in my time, and it's like for me, I'm looking forward. Like, I don't want it to come at the expense of the Chiefs. Of course, if Detroit has to play the Chiefs, I want the Chiefs to smash them. But if, you know, if y'all not playing us, I will be rooting because I want everyone that I know that I care about to have their time with their team on top.
Trust me, man. I would love nothing more than to go head to head with you. That time leading up to when we had the opening game of the season, where it was you, where it was the Chiefs and the Lions, dude. We talked so much shit. It was so much fun, and obviously it was more fun for me because we came out with the win in the end. So you know, I was all gung ho for that. But yeah, man. I mean, just we're in a situation right now where I mean, just like your team for the longest time was not great, and now since like 2018 2019 they've been like top of the top, and my Lions are good for the first time in decades.
Yes,
literal decades.
I just want to, and I'm sorry everybody, we're going to go jump into wrestling in less than a minute, but
listen, game just wrapped up. Literally Thursday Night Football just wrapped up. It's fresh on my mind. This is my fault because my team is now 12-1, clinched the playoffs, and it's still on the top of the NFC. It is my fault because I am on top of the world and I fucking hate the Packers, and we just beat them on a game-winning field goal. It's my fault. It's not Floyd's fault. If you're mad at anybody about us talking football, blame me, because I'm riding on the biggest fucking high right now, dude. You have no idea. I am drinking the salt of cheese tears.
Yes, so I'm just saying prepare for the hate. All of a sudden.
Oh, it'll come. It'll come. All of a sudden. I'm already seeing it.
You've been sucking for 50 years, but now all of a sudden the NFL and the refs want you to win.
Which is the funniest shit in the world.
Yes, it's like every excuse comes out. I'm like, oh, God, I'm tired of Jared Goff and Penei Sewell. And I'm like, dude, okay. If you don't root for Dan Campbell, right?
I don't know what's wrong with you, man.
I don't. I will never root for him against my team. But that dude's salt of the earth. He's what you want your coach to be. He is a football coach. He is not like analytics and all that stuff. He's like 4th-and-1 on our own 30. Fuck you. We're going for it. Oh, we didn't get it? So what? We're going to play defense now. Okay?
Mm-hmm. With literally no defensive players because our IR list is just literally a starting lineup.
Because you know what? So. You know what? Because no one cares. Like, when people talk about injuries and all that stuff, well, no one cares. You know what I mean?
And play the games.
Yeah, when you have the coach, like, that's the first person that has to, you know, accept it. No one cares. No one cares that your team is hurt.
Excuse me.
No blessing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, but on that note, yes, I brought it up, and I'll put an end to it. We got a lot to talk about with AEW. Obviously, we didn't record an episode last week. We were very busy.
We actually did record an episode last week. We recorded the review like on Tuesday, and we just didn't record a second episode.
Yes,
last
we just didn't record an episode on Dynamite. We didn't get to talk about the start of the Continental Classic, obviously, but we did talk about Full Gear Full Gear afterwards. So, but we got a lot to talk about with the Continental Classic going into week two. And we're getting geared up as we get down the road, and World's End is at the end of the month, man, and just we're excited for the Continental Classic to keep unfolding. Before we get into everything, though, guys, we want to make sure you continue to download this fine show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You turn automatic downloads on so you don't miss an episode, and rate, review, subscribe, share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who have plenty of amazing podcasts you should also check out and give a listen to. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. Obviously, the big news of the week is the fact that the Continental Classic began. Before we get into the matches that took place on this week's show, we can real quickly mention where we stand in the brackets currently in regards to the matches that happened last week. So I can real quickly run through those just so that way we know what the results were for that. So as we know, as I can go through them basically into this week's shows. So basically on the Thanksgiving Eve episode, we had the conglomerations, Mark Briscoe against Shelton Benjamin. Shelton got the win in that one. We had a match between Ricochet and Claudio Castagnoli, which was the Bald Forever match, which if you've seen the Twitter videos and the Botchamania clips, Jesus Christ, the Bald chants were absolutely insanity. It was very funny. Claudio got the win in that one. And then you had one more match, which was Darby Allin, Brody King. Obviously, was the match of the night for me in that regard. And Darby took the loss. Brody King got the victory in that match. And then we moved on to Collision. I mean, Rampage, I believe, because they had a match on Rampage, I believe, too, for the... No, they did not. It was only Collision. Okay, so it was Collision where we had more Continental Classic matches. Juice Robinson versus Will Ospreay. Ospreay got the win. Unfortunately, Juice Robinson suffered a broken fibula and was taken out of the Continental Classic, which was unbelievably sad. I was so happy that we finally got Juice back, and now he's hurt again. It's just an absolute punch to the gut, I feel like, just for a guy who I've just wanted to see take off in the Bang Bang Gang and everything like that. Kyle Fletcher faced the Beast Mortos. Kyle Fletcher got the victory. And then we had the Continental Champion himself, Kazuchika Okada, faced the TNT Champion, Daniel Garcia. And that match went to a time limit draw. And that finished with Okada offering to shake Garcia's hands. Garcia was going to accept it. But Okada flipped him off and got out of the ring. So they were the only ones that came out with 1 point each in the bracket.
Okay, so I asked, so I'm going to jump in because I'm just kind of give a quick, you know, of the six matches, right?
Yes.
I got to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them are noteworthy. I think like all the matches just kind of, they were good. They were good, solid wrestling matches. Mm-hmm. Were they what I'm expecting from the American G1?
No.
And that's when I'm like, they not one match to me out of those six is worth like me calling and saying, why did you watch that?
Noteworthy one was the Bald Forever one with Claudio and Ricochet.
Which,
because everyone
again,
chanted Bald.
And for me, Claudio and Ricochet, that first 5 minutes, it seemed like it was going to be a banger. And then it was just like, okay. And I'm like, Continental Classic, I need all 12 men to get on the same page with one thing. We need banger after banger after banger.
That's what the point is, dude.
After banger. That's what the Continental Classic is about. Bangers. If I got six Continental Classic matches, I want three to be like, oh my God, did you see that match? And it's like, we had Will Ospreay in a match, and maybe Juice got hurt during the match. I honestly don't know when he got hurt. But it's like, it was just a regular match.
Yeah.
And I mean, I need y'all to turn it the fuck up, okay?
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I need you to turn it up. Because this is, Continental Classic is me telling my friends that may have checked out on AEW to come back and see this match. And if I come tell them to come back and watch this match and the match is mid, I might not get them back again. So I haven't told one person to watch any match in this of those first six in the Continental Classic. Because, you know what? It matters when you tell someone to watch them that they get blown out of the water when they go to watch it. And I don't think any of those matches blown out of the water. Good matches, solid matches, all amazing wrestlers. I am not talking like, oh, I'm some kind of wrestling expert, blah, blah, blah. No, I am just a fan. And from a fan's perspective, they all just kind of happened.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was just, it's frustrating because especially for me, like, obviously, Darby Allin and Brody, like, I knew it was going to be a good match. It just didn't live up to their previous matches that I've seen them put together. And then Claudio and Yuta, Claudio and Ricochet, yeah, like you said, it started off like it was going to be crazy. And then it just devolved with fans chanting about everyone in the ring being bald. And so I was definitely hoping this week we'd get a little bit more of the banger types of matches you expect from Continental Classic matches, like to the level of what we got last year. Because like Floyd said, this is our G1. This is AEW's G1. This is how big this tournament should feel at this time, because this is what's selling your TV for the next month, because TV is going to be dominated by Continental Classic matches. Yeah. So you want people to want to tune into them because you want them to A, care about the tournament, care about the people in the matches, and care about the matches themselves.
And word of mouth is what's going to get AEW back. Like, to, you know, maybe their previous standard. It's going to be the people that still watch calling their friends and like, man, did you see this? The clips on Brain Damager or whatever his name is on Twitter, the clips that they put out from these banger matches. What clips have you seen or gifts have you seen from this Continental Classic? Like, really none, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks volumes. So I need a team meeting. I need all 12 in the room, and I need somebody get in there and fire these boys up. And I know they're working hard and all that stuff. It's a long grind. I cannot imagine being a wrestler. I am not a wrestler. It hurts just me watching it sometimes.
Yeah,
but
no, I get
this. This is the time to get some of these people back. Fucking All-In tickets are going on sale. You know, sell some fucking tickets. And how do you sell tickets in AEW? With banger matches.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sells tickets in AEW. So, like, other companies can get away with not having the greatest wrestling ever. That's not what AEW does. So, like I said, I'm not even trying to be negative. It's just, like, I'm watching it, and I just, I Like, I felt nothing. And that's the worst feeling to have on wrestling.
Correct. Yeah.
Like, no, like people like, what did you think? I didn't feel anything. It was just, the matches happened.
That's what I said about the, hey, and like I said, that's what I said about the whole Jack Perry run. Is just because it's better to feel something than nothing at all. Like,
yes.
For something to feel empty.
Yes.
So that's why we want these matches to feel big. So we're going to go ahead and get into
but,
our
I want to shout out to Matt Camp.
Okay,
he's been doing it. Matt Camp has been doing, like, Dynamite, like, summing up the week in Dynamite and looking up, I mean, for the Continental Club. He's been doing a great job. I just wish he had some matches to get really, really excited about.
I agree with you on that. So we can go ahead and see if the case was a little bit different this week for Continental Classic matches on Dynamite. So this Dynamite taking place in the Fishers Event Center in Fishers, Indiana, opened up with a Blue League match between Shelton Benjamin and Kyle Fletcher, 2-1-0 wrestlers going at it. I will say, I really like the video package they played before the show of showing each guy and their records next to each other and then just going back and forth of it. I like that. I liked it. It made it feel big. Match itself, I thought, was really well done. I thought it was a good match. I especially just love how crazy Shelton is at just lifting Fletcher and just throwing him around. And it seemed like the crowd was especially really, really getting behind Shelton. Because, I mean, it was a heel versus heel match. But there was still a position, like a very big group of the crowd that was all about Shelton Benjamin. So I liked it. I thought it was good of just, you know, obviously the veteran who's been in the business for so many years going up against the young, hungry, hothead. And in the end, the veteran actually gets caught off by the cheating of Kyle Fletcher, and Fletcher cheats and grabs the rope, rolls up, and pins Shelton Benjamin to get the pinfall victory. Ref didn't see it, and he steals 3 points and takes the lead in the Blue League. He is 2-0, and he is in control of the Blue League as the only undefeated wrestler in the Blue League. So, huge win for Kyle Fletcher. And I thought this was a pretty good opening. I thought they did a good job. And Shelton, to me, is like one of those guys I think it's just steady as they come. And Fletcher, again, I've still said up and down about how much that dude has improved, and I'm excited to see him continue to grow. And I feel like, if we're being honest, there's a good chance he comes out of the Blue League as the winner. There's a very good shot. I mean, my bet would be either him or Okada.
Yes. There was this part in the middle of the match where Shelton's just throwing him around, and
yes,
the crowd is fucking eating it up. Shelton was basically the babyface in this match.
Basically,
whether he wanted to be or not, because people hate Kyle Fletcher, which is a shout out to Kyle Fletcher, Don Callis, and what they've been booking, because that means, you know, the heel run for Kyle Fletcher is working, because people just fucking hate him. And then the roll-up with the thing, perfect. That's how a heel should win. Shelton got out-heeled. And then, I like this match. Again, to me, didn't reach that, banger level or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
good.
But it was heel versus heel, so I understand. And, you know, how you kind of had to do the match. I mean, I can kind of let it pass on this particular match. But, yeah, again, as we're stating, it was like, I remember the crowd's reaction in this match. I remember the crowd's reaction to Shelton Benjamin versus Kyle Fletcher and Kyle Fletcher cheating to win. And then Shelton Benjamin throwing him around. So it's just like, I want to be like, man, I saw this spot and oh my God, you got to go look at that. And I was like, I know Ray Phoenix is still on the payroll, man. He should be in here and just do some cool shit.
Yeah.
Do some cool shit and lose. I don't know. Whatever.
Basically, man. I mean, we'd love to see our boy back, but, you know, it's just not the case. But regardless of the fact, though, it was good. I especially did like, though, how MVP was grilling Shelton Benjamin about, you know, not getting the job done.
Yeah.
I like them treating the importance of the tournament, though, and them taking it very seriously. That, to me, is a big step up, I feel like, in terms of just making people really want to buy into the tournament and get into it.
And that their focus is winning. Their focus isn't like, so the great thing, there's a lot of bad guy factions in the AEW right now. And they all have to have their own agenda. or it's just a bunch of the same shit, right? So you got the Death Riders. Their agenda is they're kind of trying to take over AEW and build it in their image. They have their agenda. Don Callis' agenda, they have a family, but the agenda is Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher running the singles division. That's their thing. And then now, you know, now you have the Hurt Business, and their agenda is winning. Their agenda is titles. Their agenda is prize fighting.
And hurting people.
Yeah, and hurting people. It is slightly different. Like, them and the Callis family, you could say, have, like, parallel agendas. And they're going to have to run into each other just like they did because they're all searching for gold. But it's very, I think it's very important from a fan's perspective that the agendas for each of these heel groups, so that it just doesn't seem like a lot of heel groups, is made very clear.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we move out next after this, and Hook comes out. And we haven't seen Hook in a little while.
It's Hook. Comes out.
Yeah, he comes out, and he talks about how he heard of what happened this past weekend. And he proceeds to talk about how I want to fight Nick Wayne after what he said this past weekend in a couple weeks at New York City at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Like, he wants to fight him in a couple weeks. And he's like, you know what? I got a better idea. How about you, I'd rather fight your father, leave him in a worse condition than you left my father in. But I want to fight you right here, right now, basically. Calling out Christian Cage, calling out Nick Wayne. They come out, Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne, then blindside Hook. He tries to fight him off. Mother Wayne distracts. Christian comes in, hits the metal clipboard with the contract on Hook. They swarm him, grab his arm, pin it in a steel on top of a steel chair. Nick Wayne smashes his wrist with another steel chair with a concerto, and his hand is, like, just beaten up and hurt and everything like that. And I thought this was good. I thought this was good, getting people at least interested and just hooked in on this whole storyline and everything like that. I think it was necessary, so I did appreciate that. And it was just, it was interesting, though, because, I mean, like, I know they've been doing this stuff on the weekends. They've been doing this on Collision. It just kind of came out of nowhere of them putting this on Dynamite, but I was glad that Hook got a spot like this. I'm glad that they gave a little bit of interest towards Nick Wayne in this storyline. It was a decent segment. I didn't have anything necessarily wrong with it, but it was decent.
So I do listen to other Dynamite reviews at times. I happened to listen to one before, and they made a great point. This was Joe Lanza in the Voices of Wrestling. He said, "Oh yeah, it looks like, you know, they hooked arm, because obviously the feud was leading to Christian versus Hook. That seems to be what feud they were trying to build to, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like Christian's going to be in a match at Dying Wrestle Dynasty. So to not have split focus, what do? They quote-unquote injure Hook to kind of get him out the way for now.
Ah.
And then you could, work to get to Hook and Christian later. Or Hook has to wrestle Nick Wayne with a bad arm in a couple weeks. And that's a reason for Nick Wayne to be. The way they shot this, though, it was kind of funny. They were doing a concerto, and the camera shot kind of showed the backstage at the same time as they were setting up the concerto on the arm, right?
Yeah.
I swore Samoa Joe was about to come out. Right? Like, in my head, there was nothing. I had heard it nowhere. I'd done nothing. This is my own thing. It was just how they shot it. I just swore someone was coming out to save Hook, and I figured it was going to be Shibata or Samoa Joe. And no one came. No one came.
No.
His arm just got destroyed, and it was great. And, you know, Hook, I'm still a Hook guy. I know. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people that are going jumped off the Hook bandwagon, but yes, I realize the dude is still young, you know. You know how I am. I'm a body guy. I take this time to bulk up. I know. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's super easy. I know it's not. I mean, I bulk up easy because it's all bad bulk. It's not the good bulk. I think people give up on people in wrestling way too early. And it used to take 5-10 years. It's like quarterbacks. You would have to sit 3 seasons before you got to start a game. It's like wrestlers, it used to take longer to get ready. And it's like, mm-hmm. Hook is like having his first match. You know, he's bumping for the first time. And then a year later, he's like wrestling on TV. And it's just like, we're watching him in development. And like WWE has their NXT. We're watching Hook develop in front of us. So I just, mm-hmm. I ask for patience when it comes to Hook.
Yeah. And again, I at least thought the second, and I think his promos have gotten better. I think the problem is just like there's been a big gap, I feel like, in people remembering what happened with Taz, and, you know, just people's interest in him has faded just in general. I don't know, man. I still think them adding the Hook signal is a great addition to his character. I think it's a great addition to his look and his presentation. I think he's still presented really, really well. His promos have gotten a little better, and his wrestling is still solid. I think that this is going to be a decent storyline for him to get a little bit of attention. I'm just hoping that, like, you know, they're able to just keep that momentum going, because I still think Hook is one of those guys that I think they should really still set up as a consistent AEW original. So we'll hope that that continues to be the case. We had a backstage segment with the CEO, Mercedes Moné, and she was asked about Camille, and she's like, why are you obsessed with Camille? Everyone knows she quit. I'm not liable for her, and I'm sick of Anna Jay sticking her nose where it doesn't belong, but I'll be watching her match against Penelope Ford tonight. So there was that segment, and then we moved into the Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. For the last two men would be the winners of the match in this Battle Royal, and they would face off at Winner is Coming next week, and the winner of that match would face off against MJF for the Dynamite Dozen Battle Ring. Just the Dynamite Diamond Battle, Dynamite Diamond Ring, basically. We knew that Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, Mark Davis were in this match. We also had Evil Uno was in this match. We had The Butcher in this match. We had Lio Rush in Action Andretti. Top Flight were in this match. Rocky Romero was in this match. But it was pretty easy to tell when this match was announced what the final two would be. It was Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly the entire way. And for me, that's what kept me from really getting into this Battle Royal, which to me was just a standard Battle Royal. There was nothing really insane that happened. I know Top Flight was eliminated by their buddies with Action Andretti and Lio Rush knocking out Top Flight. So that was a little bit of a spot there for their storyline and their group. But for the most part, this is pretty standard, and everyone knew where it was leading to with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, especially after the blow-up that happened last week with Kyle O'Reilly shoving Adam Cole after he hurt Roderick Strong. Yeah, I mean, there's not really too much else I can say, is that it's going to be a great match between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. I'm expecting a big match between those guys at the Winner is Coming, and then the winner, who could honestly be either of them. That's the good thing about this match, at least. Honestly, I don't know if they do have Adam Cole win this match and go after MJF at World's End. Maybe it's not, because it's going to be for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, so there's a good chance it's Kyle O'Reilly. So that's at least the one thing that's got me excited for that match. I don't know. They could go either way with it, I feel like. So, but this Battle Royal was just, it was just there.
Again, remember when this company used to be a banger battle royal company? You couldn't wait for them. You couldn't wait for them to have a battle royal because it was going to be like the most amazing thing ever. Got a question. I don't know. I know Kid had a birthday. Maybe he had the week off. Where was Sammy Guevara?
I don't know.
Or Dustin Rhodes. I'm like, I mean, Shane Taylor's always good for some stuff. I'm like, where were like the names in this? You know what I mean? And they're like,
I know.
Just have the banger. It just felt like very thrown together, very predictable battle royal. And that's not what I want for my battle royal. And Mark Davis, Butcher should be a tag team. I threw that out there on Twitter last night.
That'd be fun.
If you saw how, like, because Mark Davis just came out in the black tights. It didn't say Aussie Open or anything like that. It was just like basic black tights. And he piled over the Butcher. I was typing that they should be a tag team as he piledrive the Butcher, which was hilarious. But the Butcher, his partner's out. Kyle Fletcher's moved on from Mark Davis.
It'd be fun. I'd be interested in it.
Big old tag team right there. Give me Give me Mark Davis and the Butcher versus Brian Cage and Lance Archer. Just big meaty men slapping meat. Let's do this. Best of five or something like that. I just, like I said, it's just like we got the titles on Private Party, right? What's going on in the tag division?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And like we got the titles on someone. They're like, oh, it's someone new. What's happening? No, I'm just throwing that out there. Battle Royals, tag division. It's just like, I'm watching the show and I'm like, AEW is my preferred brand. It's my preferred brand of wrestling. I love it more than any wrestling. But right now, it's just like...
We're just in this weird period.
I was so excited. Honestly, I'll tell you, this week, if I seemed out, it was because I was so excited for the Continental Classic. And it has not hit what I wanted it to be.
I get it, man. And again, too, it's like we were all hyped when they actually did go with Private Party for the... tag team championships, and unfortunately they haven't had legit contenders. And honestly, the thing out of the tag team division that's been getting the most focus is the inevitable fallout and heel turn of Max Caster and him breaking off from the Acclaimed. But that's more so a trio, or at least it like is, you know, with Ass involved.
Okay, pause, stop. I've been so negative, I forgot to say the one obviously positive thing about this show.
Go ahead.
This fucking crowd was amazing.
It was.
Fishers, yes. Indiana made me feel like AEW. Like, for one night, it felt like, oh, this is AEW. Like, this is back. Tyler and his son were in the building. They actually got on screen doing Claudio's entrance. Chris Reigns was in the building. All my favorite.
Reynolds was in the building, you know, too. Mr. WrestleCrap.
Yeah, so a lot of my favorite people are from Indiana. So I want to shout them out. Like I said, I feel like this part of it has been negative, which I actually thought it was a good show. Yeah. It's just there's certain things that are glaringly me not liking. And it's just like I don't want to be like, I am all about positivity. I'm always about focusing what I don't like, but I'm not going to be fake about it. If I don't like something, I'm going to say it. You know what I mean? So I'm all about looking positive. Crowd was amazing. I did want to shout that out. That was supposed to be the first thing that I said, and then I got into my old little bitch fest. But
We do appreciate these crowds, too, because we've had instances where crowds are dead quiet, I feel like, for certain things. So we do appreciate it when the crowd legitimately is engaged for the entire show. Like, yeah, we love that.
Fisher's got to be on the rotation because of Indiana. You bring it like that. And that's what I think AEW has to do, and I don't know how this will work, is reward the crowds and the places that come in hype.
I agree. You get I don't know how you do shows. That either. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know the business. Again, I'm fan. This is me talking as fan. So I don't know the business aspect of it, but try to reward these places when people show up and they're loud. And Fisher's, arena, it was the first wrestling event in that arena, and they were really, really loud, and I really enjoyed it. They added to the show.
For sure. And then, like I said, tag team division in regards to things that we did get was, of course, the Acclaimed, who are a trio, tag team, wherever you want to go with it. But they basically were trying to talk Max out of this match with Swerve Strickland because, you know, he's out here being the best wrestler alive in his own mind, but this group has never been about one person. It's all three of us. What you've got going on tonight is all wrong. Bowens, please talk some sense into him. And Bowens goes, you call yourself the best wrestler alive? Go ahead and prove it. And Max is like, thank you. Somebody was actually supporting me. All right, hands in, everybody. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Best wrestler alive. And then he goes out and he gets killed. Yeah. Swerve kills him. Honestly,
Swerve
might have been one of my favorite parts of the show, genuinely.
Because Swerve came out and it wasn't him dancing or playing up to the crowd. He was serious.
This dude was out here to kill.
He was pissed, and it was like, yeah, it's great. That's how you get somebody back on track after they take a big loss. He just dominated him. It didn't even hit, like, the finish. He hits the finisher, gets the pin, then comes out and does the swerve stomp.
And comes out and hits the swerve stomp, yeah.
Just goes like, hey, talk shit, get hit. You know what I mean? That's what happened there, and it was amazing. And I don't know. For some reason, I'm very high on where this Acclaimed storyline is going. I don't think it's going to end exactly the way everyone thinks it's going to end.
Yeah? What are you thinking you're leaning towards?
Dude, I feel like Bowens and Gunn maybe kick him out, the Acclaimed.
Oh, instead so they kind of ostracize
him. Yeah, instead of turning on him, they like, you're not in the group anymore. Maybe replace him with someone. I have no idea who it would be at all, but it just seems like it's leaning the other way where Max has to be humble.
And I get... Listen, I know he's not on TV. I know they don't plan on using him. I know there's a whole thing about it and all that kind of stuff. Could we get Danhausen to do some raps, please?
Yes.
I would love Danhausen doing some raps. I think it would be very funny. I know it won't happen. I'm speaking up a fucking wall, even though the dude still sells butt-fucked loads of merchandise. My Danhausen box came in, by the way.
Butt
it was very nice.
Butt-fucked loads? Is that a new... measure or unit of measure now. I like it.
Yeah. What it is. Yeah. I mean, dude, he still sells crazy amounts of merchandise. There's already a Santa house and shirt on shop.com that they were selling for an hour. And again,
dude,
he's not on TV, but he sells the fuck out of merchandise.
I'm just telling you, that's added to my things I say now. I'm going to say, I hope that you scored a buck foot load of points. That's a new one for me.
So, yeah, but regardless, I am enjoying this as well. Max Caster calling himself best wrestler alive. It fits way more, especially with the way that he acts on social media. It fits way more than about the way that I think he wants to act. And people love Anthony Bowens. Like, they really like Anthony Bowens. And I am all about seeing these guys wrestle each other. I think it would be unbelievably entertaining. So I'm genuinely interested. And I loved Max going out and getting popped by Swerve. I thought it was just really – obviously it wasn't much of a match, but it was entertaining as hell to me because I liked Max going out there and being this confident asshole, and he gets popped.
Dude, it's
fun to watch.
You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on Max to take the card to MVP and say, yeah, I want to join, right?
And then MVP's
like, you're a fucking loser. Go get away from me.
Correct. I would love that.
Why would I recruit you? Yeah, all you do is lose. The greatest, best wrestler alive, all you do is lose.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We're not accepting loser applications right now. Thanks. Because that's what I'm like. He's giving out a lot of cards. I'm waiting on someone to take him up on the offer, and he rejects them.
Yeah, and it would absolutely be Max who he would reject.
Yeah, just reject him. Like, no. And then Max, you know, goes nuts.
And, yeah, after the match, obviously, Swerve stared down the barrel of the camera, basically being like, don't waste my time anymore, and this isn't over, Lashley. So I'm all for that. Hyped about that continuing. We then move on to a via satellite promo from MJF, where he talked to Adam Cole, goes like, hey, you know, brings up Better Than You, Baby, how it was record-breaking, and then you turned on me. And look at the butterfly effect that it's caused. Because of your actions... Your friend Roderick Strong's arm is broken. Now you have to face Kyle O'Reilly. John Moxley's running around murdering people in AEW. And it's all because of you, because you're the villain, Adam. So the gaslighting has continued from Mr. MJF. So promo itself was pretty fun. But I am definitely for sure feeling that no MJF on live television, like other than these promos. AEW could use him in some segments other than just via satellite, I will say. They could use him doing some stuff.
I don't know if he's, like, shooting a movie or what he's doing.
It could be maybe him still doing stuff with Happy Gilmore, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We need some MJF in building.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, he works. You know, he works. He's just generational talent. We need to see him performing. I am not high on the whole Max Adam Cole thing.
I'm feeling of just the mindset of, again, I just don't like the fact that we are, I just don't like the fact that we're still not, the whole thing with the devil storyline kind of still being a thing that they're mentioning at least a little bit with these two guys feuding with each other. I feel like we should have just absolutely thrown that in the dumpster and never brought it up ever again.
Yeah.
But with Roderick and his crew still being involved with Adam and Kyle O'Reilly getting involved. It's like, I don't know, man.
It feels just, like they thought they could save it But I don't really know what the motivation for each person in this thing is.
Correct.
I don't even know why.
It does just scream like, no. It's still good. It's still good.
Yeah, I don't even know why Kyle O'Reilly's involved.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, a part of the Devil's storyline.
Yeah, but he's like, you don't want to get involved with MJF. He's always 10 feet ahead of you or whatever. And then he does get involved with MJF, and it leads to Roderick getting hurt. And yes, he's friends with Roddy, but I mean, like...
Yeah, and he's rocking
the Cleveland Admiration shirt. He's a grown-ass man. He's a grown-ass man. He can make his own decisions.
You know, you do know he fights for a living, right? you do know what y'all do, and you're saying, don't fight this guy. And I'm like, I don't... Like I said... This might be one of those things where they're trying to be super complicated and there's someone out here that perfectly gets it. I don't. I don't understand Kyle O'Reilly's motivation for being involved in this at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he's there. And like, I mean, maybe he's turning and going to join MJF. I don't know. But he literally has no reason to be involved in the storyline.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
It's just tough because, again, like I can see just the level of them wanting this to be like, you know what, we can still make this work because they put a lot of real estate in that Devil storyline only for it to just never work out because of Adam Cole's injury. Again, that's stuff out of your control. I feel like just like cutting your losses now. And I know it's still involved at least in a slight level because of still Undisputed Kingdom being a thing and still doing stuff with Adam Cole. But at some point, I just feel like it's good to cut your losses. I'm excited for Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. I want to repeat that again. I'm excited for that match. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think babyface Adam Cole versus MJF as a heel is the way to go about it. You know what I mean? I'm still kind of in that spot where I'm just like, you know, you guys could have just cut your losses beforehand. I thought they were never going to mention the Devil storyline ever again. And I think they still tried.
I think that was the way to go. I mean, when Max came out and came back and said, I don't need this mask. I thought that was, and then just attacked Adam Cole. Putting the Devil storyline behind him. Maybe Adam Cole comes back and joins the Continental Classic and you know, gets in the Continental Classic and maybe we address the Max and Adam Cole thing later. But it just feels like you're forcing something that's not working right now.
Yeah.
Now, there you go.
Regardless, yeah, we'll move on now to Jay White going up against the Bastard Pack in a singles match. Jay White trying to get some revenge. Obviously, we saw the whole insanity that happened at the end of Full Gear and Jay White getting back at the Death Riders. And I enjoyed this match. I thought they had some really good moments. There was a good bit of the video package they had of Jay White and Pack and their feud. Again, it sucks. I wish Juice was still here and like he was doing stuff with Bang Bang Gang, but him being hurt is just brutal. There were some really good moments of these guys just going back and forth with counters. I liked how Christian was still lurking around during the match as well. And I liked the work that these guys did too in this match.
This match and segment was like my favorite thing on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, Floyd can probably go more deeper. Also, I just love how Wheeler Yuta just kept getting his shit rocked.
Yes.
It was so funny to me how Wheeler Yuta was just the butt monkey of the match.
Dude, you want to talk about getting a finisher over.
Mm-hmm.
The Blade Runner from Jay White. Like, he gets dropped by Wheeler. Wheeler throws him in the ring. Boom, Blade Runner 1-2-3 out of, like, nowhere. It was so smooth.
I love how it like I said, I talked about it when he was feeding for it in his Full Gear match. Like that move is over
and no one kicks out of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. When someone finally kicks out of it, you know, like it's very rarely kicked out of, let me say this. And when someone finally kicks out of it, it's gonna be this big moment because no one kicks out of it. Hangman has yet to kick out of that move. And it's like, oh yeah, boom, hit it again, 1-2-3. So now you're like in this match. Where they're eventually building to is a fatal four-way, from what I understand. That's the key. Jay White's going to hit that move some point in the match, and it's going to be like 1-2, and then someone's going to break it up because you know what? No one kicks out of the Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no. I really enjoyed the segment. I thought this is the best it's been because the faces didn't look like fucking idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was well done.
Yeah, it's like
So Yuta gets the ref was distracted. He hits the Blade Runner out of nowhere, gets the pinfall victory. Wheeler got hit with the Blade Runner as well. Marina Shafir then came into the ring, and that's when Jon Moxley came in, hit the paradigm shift on Jay White. That's when Hangman comes out, and he has another stare down with Jon Moxley. And that's when somebody who is wearing a production like gear and had a mask on, he grabs a cord from the camera and wraps it around Moxley's neck, and it's revealed to be Orange Cassidy, who starts beating the shit out of Moxley. That's when Pac and Hangman start going at each at Moxley and Orange are going at it. Jay White then knocks down Moxley, and that's when the Buckshot Lariat is hit by Hangman on Moxley, and the fans are cheering for AEW, and there it is. The Death Riders have taken a shot. They've been hit, basically. They've now got some AEW guys and some AEW, AEW originals. Jay White's not an AEW original, but I'll include him there a little bit. But, like, AEW guys going after these guys who have been terrorizing AEW. And there's a first real, like, kind of you want a battle right here against the Death Riders, who have been mostly untouchable.
Some guys that you actually care that they're getting jumped. You know what I mean?
So
and they stood up for themselves. I dig it. I absolutely love this.
Yeah, I thought it was good. Obviously, I'm still iffy about Hangman doing good things because I just love him so much being this like psychotic, like he should not be the guy doing the right thing. I'm not okay with Hangman doing the right thing because I still think Hangman's mind is too warped and I like it the way that it is, where he's absolutely insane. But I know it's inevitably going to lead to the reuniting of the Elite to take down Death Riders, I feel like, is what we're eventually going to lead to. And that requires Hangman to make amends with the people that he has had issues with in the past. But I don't know, man. I just like Hangman the way he is. It was cool, at least, to see him get involved. But yeah, this was the best part of just the Death Riders, where they took a beating and they were jumping people that we cared about, and then they fought back. This was like a little bit of juice for me for the Death Riders, which I have not cared about in the slightest.
Dude, yeah.
So this has given me a little bit of juice, I will say. I did enjoy this.
Yeah, I heard someone say that, like, it's too early for them to take something. I was like, no. What they were doing for the last few weeks was boring. And we needed some resistance. And we needed, like, no, these guys weren't on the same side, but it's like, we all hate you. You know, we hate each other, but we just hate you more. And I dug it. It's like, Jay White and Orange Cassidy aren't friends. Jay White and Hangman aren't friends. They just hate the Death Riders more than they hate each other. Now, I can say that about everybody but Hangman, because I think he hates Jay White. The only person Hangman hates more than Jay White is Swerve still, because he can't beat Jay White, and it's fucking frustrating for him.
Yeah, I know. He's not at all okay with it, obviously. He's not okay with it.
But yeah, I like Tyler was. I didn't think it was a face turn. It was like Hangman has a focus. He wants to win the AEW World title. He doesn't care who the AEW World Champion is. It's just, it happens to be Jon Moxley right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get that.
Yeah, so there you go. We then had Jamie Hayter cut a promo after Julia Hart had another video package towards her, basically, and she's like, I know you like to play mind games, but I'm more of a face-to-face gal. I don't know how many times I have to say this to you and anybody who's listening. This International Women's Cup means the world to me. I'm looking to fight anytime, any place, but you can't fight what you can't see, so I'm going to come for you. So she is going to come after Julia Hart and wants to get after her after all these weeks of just constant mind games from Julia Hart. It'll be cool eventually when we get to see these two go at it. I'm pretty sure there's got to be a case where I feel like where Jamie Hayter will be in the main event, obviously. I mean, she got the win over Aminata, and Willow got the win over Serena, correct? That was what the finish was for that Collision.
Yes.
So it's going to be Jamie Hayter and Willow Nightingale. Jamie's got to be the one who gets screwed by Julia Hart right there, right? For Winner's Coming?
Absolutely.
That's got to be what happens on Winner's Coming Collision.
Correct.
So I believe that's where we're heading with that. So I'm excited for when she comes back, though, because I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yes, I am. I kind of miss the hater hits hard Jamie Hayter that wore like a lot of the colors, this whole bright flower child thing. I don't know what I'm getting from her. I'm like, what she had when she left, I just kind of want that back. And I don't know that it might be weird. You know, some people might just be just fine with it. But I just want Jamie Hayter to be back in that position that she was when she left.
I respect that, and I agree with it as well. There was actually a pretty damn good vignette they aired of Bandito's return, of like all this outlaw.
The Most Wanted, baby.
Yeah, Most Wanted. Like, honestly, well done. Honestly, well produced, and a nice little video thing to talk about the return of Bandito. I dug it. I thought it was a nice little tease for that. And I liked how they had this little production for a guy like Bandito. It like, makes me believe that maybe they're going to do a little bit with him.
Yes, yeah, we need Bandito back. I still need a triple threat or them as a trio, Bandito, Brian Keith, and Hangman. I did the Outlaws. I need it. I need it. Ooh, in my life.
That'd be fun. And yes. That'd be fun. We then moved on to Anna Jay going up against Penelope Ford. It got this match got a lot more physical, I think, as it got going. And I thought, like, it got into second gear, and that's where I was like, okay, we got a little bit going. There's a nice way of Anna getting out of the way of a moonsault, and a nice drop kick. Penelope had her bridge lock that she does, but Anna got to the rope and then planted her down to the ground. I felt like as it was going on, they were able to get a little bit more physical. I thought it was all right. Then you had Anna Jay, after she picked up the win, call out Mercedes Moné. And Mercedes was like, let me get this straight. If Chris Statlander can't beat me for my title, what makes you think that you can? And people call me arrogant. Mariah must have kicked you in the head a little too hard, but I like your confidence. So if you want a shot at the TBS champion, you should come back in 10 years after you've done something in this business. Mercedes was throwing barbs, like legit barbs. And Anna Jay was like, I'll do something right now. Slaps her across the face, and then was like, let's fight right now. She starts taking off her gear, her rings and her earrings, and then she's like, nah, you know what? And she walks away from Anna Jay. Little in-between feud for Mercedes Moné. Yeah, I liked how she like got some good shots in on Anna Jay. Anna didn't really give me too much to really get into, other than just like the slap like across the face or whatever. I thought the match was okay. I thought they did a decent job. But, I mean, this screams just in between. We need Mercedes to get a title win on pay-per-view. It's just like...
I like that they're featuring Anna.
She's on TV. They've been trying to set up for Anna to get a lot more time on TV with her going off to Japan and then coming back and getting a lot of collision matches.
Yes.
They've been building towards Anna getting more time for a while. So this isn't anything out of the ordinary or not normal.
That's what I'm like. You got to get your originals. I mean, Anna started with AEW. She's been original. She's developed. She's had some good matches. She had some not go good matches. I thought this match was okay.
They did a good job of like bringing up the hardcore match they had a couple years ago with Ty Mello and them.
But she worked with Mariah, right? And now she's working with Mercedes. The only thing that's going to happen working with all these great wrestlers is you getting better. So
correct.
Is this to me the most entertaining thing in the world now? No, but as a fan, I know it's building to Anna Jay being featured in a future. And with her getting time on the mic, her getting time on the ring, she's just going to keep getting better and better and better. Yeah. So,
and it's only going to be better for AEW if she improves as well.
So that's the whole thing. When you don't really have a developmental system, you develop on TV. And Anna Jay is getting better and better every week on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much all you can say there. Yeah. So we move on to my love of my life, Mariah May, who was backstage interviewed by Renee Paquette. Holy shit, Mariah was like just absolutely...
This fucking... I love this segment. I don't know what everybody in the world thought about it. I just thought this was fucking fantastic.
Oh, it was great.
And well done, yeah.
Dude, I loved how Mariah was just absolutely disrespectful to Renee, and she was just like, fuck this, I'm not dealing with this. And she's like, no.
I like that Renee finally stood up for herself.
I liked it as well. Yes.
Yes, she stood up for herself.
Great. I thought it was great. I like Mariah talking about, like, I'm being generous. I'm giving my best friend a title shot, and I believe in you, Mina. And I love the great shot of her walking in the background, of Mina walking in the background. You know she's coming up to confront Mariah. I thought that was well done. And she comes in, and she's got a champagne bottle on her head, and Mariah's expecting her to get nailed. And Mina was like, do it to my face. Make me work, basically. Be the champion you say you are. Show me what you got. I want your best. And yeah, then just hands the champagne bottle to her and basically is like, I'll see you when I see you.
Okay, so Mariah and Mina, they got you built up. I think this is going to happen on the 18th. And is this DC? Did they announce this for DC?
Let me confirm if they've announced it, actually, real quick. I want to make sure I've got this information. You can talk about more while I make sure I get this right.
Yeah, so they've announced this big match. Actually, it's happening at the show I'm going to in Kansas City.
There you go.
They've announced it. You got a week build. Okay, the ball's in your court. Like, Mariah, Mina, bring it. Like, knock the shit out of each other. I'm talking about, like, this is a showcase match. They've been building the Mina coming back for, what, months now? I want Mina. Mina came back.
Yeah, we want Mina.
Yeah. Well, they did the turn, and Mina's like, making me work. Y'all both have worked together in Stardom together. Okay. Give me something to talk about. Have me coming out of Kansas City. There's a, like, four singles matches that night. The only one I want to be talking about when I leave that show is yours.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it, dude. I mean, like I said, this is the match and the feud that Mariah can literally sink, that they can sink their teeth into, because Mariah has not had much to do since she won the world championship. So I'm excited. I think this is a real big moment where they can really, really get these girls going. I think they can really blow it out of the park. So I'm really pulling for these two. I'm hoping they do a really great job, because I'm really into this. I think they're doing really good. I think the heat is there. I think the interest is there. I think they're doing really great stuff. And I love Mariah leaning into the fact, because people talk so much shit about, oh, she's just like setting women's wrestling back with what her and Mina with the tit shaking and her being hot and blah, 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 blah. And she's just like, yeah, I've killed women's wrestling. Fuck you gonna do about it? Like, I love the attitude she's bringing to it. I love this level of just, like, I mean, she's just detestable. I love it. I love her being so full of herself because she is who she is. Like, I mean, and Mina has got the opportunity to really get going with this feud. I think, let's go. Like, I'm so gassed up for this. I'm so gassed up for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited that I get to be in the building for it, because I literally thought they had set it up for... I thought they'd set it up for the holiday bash, and
no, it's what, but, yeah
but
be,
I get it
in
my
coming.
Show, so I'm looking forward to it. Let's go.
So
let's
fucking go. Jealous of you. You constantly get to see Mariah. I've yet to see her, and you get to see her face Mina in person.
Yeah, get to see that big match, you know.
I need to see my girl. She hopefully will be on the Jericho cruise, please.
Yes.
We then close it out with the main event, Brody King going one-on-one with Claudio Castagnoli in the Continental Classic Gold League. You have two 1-0 team wrestlers once again going at each other in this match. So we started with the 1-0 in the blue league, 1-0 in the blue league. Now we have the 1-0 in the gold league. So this is good. I thought this was another good match, but again, still not to the level of where I thought we should be with. I mean, you can go ahead and go down.
I felt like there was a slight missed opportunity in this match.
Go ahead.
Claudio's fucking huge. Brody is fucking huge. The crowd wanted to chant meat. They wanted to chant meat so bad.
They were looking for chances.
They were looking for chances. Dude, all y'all had to do was forearm each other for like 5 minutes.
Just and this uppercut or
yeah,
just
yeah,
chop.
Dude, yeah, forearm, uppercut each other for like 2 minutes straight. This crowd would have been going crazy. Then you could have did whatever else you did in the rest of this match, and people would be like, oh, my God, this is a meat match. And I feel like people are, like the big dudes, are missing out on this meat chance too much. The meat thing has kind of, it's AEW's thing. Miro and Will Hobbs put out this beautiful thing, and they rode the meat chant.
Dude, they were the ones that like made it work.
Yes, I need more people to ride the fucking meat chant. They were wanting to yell meat. You like Claudio's huge physical specimen. Brody King is a fucking tree. Give us meat.
Yeah.
Give us meat. That I was like, I was watching this match and I'm watching it and I'm just trying to like enjoying it. And I was just like, dude, all they need is a New Japan, never open weight style, just throwing bombs on each other. And then, like I said, do the rest of the match the exact same way. Just right. Give us that 2 minutes in the middle where you're just knocking the shit out of each other. And like, and the match ending, it was great. Claudio won. And he won the right way because it keeps Brody strong. Nothing. No problem with much of the match. But just like that middle part was like missing something.
I feel that.
And like I said, I know what, like you kept hearing them try to say it. And it's like, you got to listen to the crowd and give them the meat.
Yeah. No, they were trying to get it going, but yes. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
I will say, someone did describe this match in a really great way that I did enjoy. Someone said, like, basically, you got two different types of powerful. One, in Claudio, he's basically like a supercar or a Lamborghini or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
While Brody is basically like a built Ford truck.
Yes.
So two strong in their own very different ways, but they're very strong. I like the way they described that. I enjoyed it. I thought, like I said, it was a good match. Claudio is running hot in the Gold League right now as the guy to beat. I feel like it's going to come down to the Gold League really leaning towards either him or Will Ospreay. Those two are going to be the ones that are going to be really vying for that top spot in the Gold League. So I'll be interested to see where we go with that. But it was a decent finish. Obviously, Claudio gets the neutralizer for the win. It was a good match. Still yet to reach those banger levels we've come to expect for these Continental Classic matches. I'm hoping we maybe, because I know we have Collision. We got Collision to look forward to.
Rampage.
Rampage, yeah.
Yeah, they got like three Continental Classic matches on Rampage. And reports from my inside source, Mr. Chris Rangs, It was an amazing Rampage. It's going to be a big-ass Rampage.
I'm hoping that, like I said, I know we got a couple there. We still got a couple on Collision as well, including a qualifier match for the Women's Cup, for the International Women's Cup for Wrestle Dynasty as well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping now we're getting to the point where once we've got these first 2 weeks out of the way, let's get the bangers. We want bangers. We want these matches to go the limit and really make the most of their time. Because this is what TV is going to be for the next couple weeks. It's just going to be nothing but Continental Classic storylines for the most part. That's what it has to be building on. Like, this is what our TV is going to be like this entire month. So let's really make the most of it. Like, we want it to be just as good as it was last year.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, I mean, the whole show, the whole Rampage is Continental Classic. That's what it is. It's three. Well, I guess there's a tag match in the middle, but there's four matches. Okay. And three of them are Continental Classic. So the Rampage is going to, this is probably the biggest Rampage they've done this year.
You know, love that. I mean, considering that I believe that they're not going to do Rampage after this year.
I think we only get three more. Four more shows and then Rampage is gone. So,
yeah.
So that being said, this is going to be like, you know, make sure you tune in for Rampage this week because you get three big matches. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a good way to go. And that, I think, is going to close it out on this Dynamite review. We'll real quickly go ahead and go through what we have on Rampage. Floyd, do you have the Rampage matches pulled up then?
I do have the Rampage matches pulled up. Hold on just a second.
Actually, not a problem.
Yeah.
And I've got the Collision ones pulled up.
Yeah, so it is Rampage. It's Kazuchika Okada versus Mark Briscoe. It is Daniel Garcia versus the Beast Mortos. And then the main event is Ricochet against Commander, the new Commander, because he takes over for Juice Robinson.
Yes. Which I like the story. Here's the thing, too. I know they're not going to go for it, obviously, but man, would it be interesting if the storyline kind of really leans into, like, you know, Commander gets thrown in at the last minute because of Juice's injury, and he's already down 0-1. He keeps the record from the loss that Juice had.
Yes.
So he's already starting behind. You know, I feel like it'd be fun to really lean into that kind of idea of, like, maybe he's a dark horse.
Yes, so, yeah, and, yeah, they called him the first alternate, so it was it's
interesting.
A good spot to be in, and, you know, in case there's more injuries or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah. It was funny. I don't know what word to use. It's not funny. That's not the right word.
Interesting.
It was weird, interesting, that Tony Khan's like, I'm not announcing it until later, because I want to make sure everybody's healthy. And then literally he loses the guy after the first match. Well, like, what after his first match? Yeah, because it's not funny. I don't know what
the
right
word
is. And
also, unfortunately, I think he spelled injured wrong on his tweet that was used as well. I think that was the thing that was pointed out, that he spelled injured or injury wrong.
Ah, okay.
That was something that me and Sydney and I noticed. It was like, oh, God, typo in the tweet.
You learn it, people. You all learn it. I didn't notice. I was like, heard it. Yeah, injured. Actually, let me be real. I don't read anything that closely.
Like, I have to proofread all my shit.
As long as I got the gist of what's going on, I'm like, good. No, so it you know, sucks for Juice. Commander's going to get featured for the next few weeks, so that's really cool for him.
Yeah. No, 1,000%. For Collision this Saturday, we're going to have, of course, like I said, Will Nightingale
live
versus... Yeah, Collision.
From GalaxyCon in Columbus, Ohio.
GalaxyCon show.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I wish like I said, if I had like another month's notice, I would be in Columbus this week.
I mean, same, dude. If we weren't so busy, I feel like recently, I'd probably try to make it out. Especially since my girl Harley Cameron's doing a meet and greet there. Man.
Yes.
I'm like,
dude, no, it's
so many of them are only doing them for an hour, though. That threw me off how, like, those meet and greets are short.
Oh, they got to work.
I know.
No, but
I'm aware, but
it's
still.
It's basically a fan fest. And
yeah, basically what you can get for a fan fest, while also getting all the other people that are going to be at that convention.
There's
a shitload.
I am hoping that this is something they can do more.
I would love that, too.
Yeah, of course, I'm not going to be able to make them all. But, you know, I've always talked about the fan-friendliness and the availability of wrestlers in AEW. We love that about the initial AEW. So I don't ever expect it to go back the way that it did originally. But we can find somewhere of a middle ground in there, and we can still get access to the wrestlers for the people around the country that want to meet them. Because, again, sometimes that's where fanhood is made, you know, is in those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it was for a lot of fans, I feel like, leading up to AEW.
Yes. So, yeah. So don't lose that about yourself.
I agree. So I'm excited to see how everything looks out from GalaxyCon Columbus. Like I said, though, we're going to have the International Women's Cup semifinal match between Will Nightingale and Serena Deeb. Mina Shirakawa gets a tune-up match against Emi Sakura, which should be fun. Continental Gold League matchup between Darby Allin and Commander. Blue League matches between Daniel Garcia and Mark Briscoe. And Kyle Fletcher and Kazuchika Okada, which right there is the match that you tune into the show for. Right there.
Yeah,
like, that should be a banger on the level that I'm expecting. Like, this is what the C2 needs. Like, get this match and give it time and let them go apeshit.
Correct. You let them use all of that 20 minutes.
I am all for it right there. And then, of course, like I said, Dynamite Winter is coming is next week. Already got Pac and Jon Moxley versus Jay White and Orange Cassidy announced. Adam Cole faces Kyle O'Reilly with the winner facing MJF for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. Ricochet goes up against Brody King in the Gold League. Claudio goes up against Will Ospreay in the Gold League. That match is going to be insane. I feel like that's another one. You got to really let him go. Let him go. And then, of course, AEW Women's World Championship match between Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa.
Claudio versus Will Ospreay. I get to be there for that. I'm loving
crazy,
that.
Crazy, man.
Yes.
Crazy. So that's everything we got coming up. We have a couple additional headlines, so Floyd can go ahead and run down what we had in some other additional headlines.
Yes, another additional headline. As I drop my mouse as I'm trying to click on here, we got All In General Sale happens December 9th, so that's Tuesday. So this is like they've been. If you want to ticket the All In now, you can. I mean, you can literally just go into Ticketmaster. I didn't even have to enter a code, and there are seats available. But the official general on sale is Tuesday. Let's sell this motherfucker out. Everybody, go buy tickets. I got a plan to buy. That's going to be a lot of people's Christmas presents. This is going to be All In tickets. So I look forward. I look forward to that. Matt Cardona, this is a spoiler, but this show has happened earlier tonight. So this happened on ROH. If you haven't watched ROH yet, cut it off. Matt Cardona announced as Chris Jericho's opponent at ROH Final Battle at Hammerstein Ballroom. That was cool. Apparently, it was a huge pop when he came out. I kind of want Matt Cardona to win.
I would like to see that too, honestly.
I've always been a big Cardona fan. I'm not a big enough fan to watch GCW, but I am a big Matt Cardona fan. And yes, and that was a shot at GCW. just in case you thought, oh man, that was a shot. It was. It was absolutely a shot at GCW. I love this man. Not enough to watch that shit. Love.
You know what would be funny though, honestly, just for the hell of it. Listen. Let's be frank right now. Just book Matt Cardona, Ricky Starks for World's End. Do that.
Yes, and
that would just be the most snarky, just petty shit ever, and it would make me laugh. So do it.
So there have been talks of ROH, getting a TV deal. I think that nothing brings more eyes to ROH. As much as I wouldn't necessarily care for it, and I would still watch it, though. I think GCW should invade ROH and the Hammerstein Ballroom. And GCW cheats, and Matt Cardona beats Chris Jericho. Look, again, I've seen it various places. If I steal an idea from someone, I will give them credit. But I saw this so many places, and I took a whole bunch of their thoughts and made it like my own. I jumped to my own conclusion that Matt Cardona should win because of GCW involvement and use all this stuff with Effie and them hating on hating on AEW. Go sell some fucking tickets. I'm like, dude, you know that's how I am.
I know.
Anytime you have conflict, go sell some tickets.
Go ahead.
Entertain me with it. Like, use real life conflict to make me some wrestling that I care about. Okay.
Hey, I'm all for them to do that.
Yeah.
They've shown the ability to not do that. I'd love for them to prove me wrong and actually know how to use real life heat. So yeah, I'd love for them to prove me wrong and
even,
do it actually.
Even better is if Ricky Starks joins the GCW side.
Dude, like for real.
That's some wrestling. That's wrestling, right?
It is.
Ricky Starks comes out and he looks like he's about to help and bam, nutshots Chris Jericho and joins the GCW side. Boom. Wrestling. I do.
Yeah.
I'm not a writer. I'm not either, but it's just like all I can do is sit here and say, hey, this would be really cool to see. You know? Like that's all I'm saying. It's like as a fan saying, hey, you know what? This would be really cool to see. I doubt we get it. I doubt it happens because I've literally went down this rabbit hole of hoping something cool happens and it never happens for like 2 years now. So I'm not holding my breath, but it would be cool if you did. Yeah. And there's this giant black man named Will Hobbs. You know, you could kind of use him if you wanted to.
You could.
You know?
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The dude can wrestle, you know? He seems to be healthy. You know? Put him on TV. You know?
Just go ahead.
You know, to have him do what you pay him to do.
That'd be nice.
Novel concept, I know, right?
Yeah. But either way, I think that's going to close things out on this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in and tuning in every week, and we appreciate the support. If you enjoy the show, we appreciate it if you continue to download it, whether you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Turn automatic downloads on, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, and rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Follow us on Twitter. We are at ATElitePod on Twitter. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, and I will pass it off to him so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
There was one little piece of news that I forgot. Brody King accepted an open challenge from David Finlay and will be wrestling him at Wrestle Dynasty in Tokyo on January 5th. But other than that, you know, I saw a lot of posts this week. Dustin Rhodes was trying to defend AEW. It's like, hey, you know, stop just shitting on AEW, which, of course, I'm all about. You know, but my big thing is, you know, put out a product people want to see. No one will shit on you. And if the people that are shitting on you, when you're putting out a product you want to see, I've seen it. And people shit on AEW, they will get destroyed. So just focus on, to me, focus on putting on the product that we all want to see. Because the AEW fans, we are passionate. We got your back. I mean, we are called, what do they call the AEW fans? Freakazoids? It's all sorts of things that they
sickos.
Call. Sickos. I mean, sickos is the thing, but it's like the people that hate us call us like freakazoids or something because, you know, or whatever. I don't know what they call it. Like, whatever they call us. But just focus on your core fan base and making a product that they like and love. And I think there's nothing to worry about. Or worry about after that, because the whole idea of just enjoy wrestling, like I said, I'm all about that. That's what this show is about, just enjoying wrestling, right? But when you want fans, when you have passionate fans, they're gonna have thoughts, and it's just the way it is. So with that, it's the Christmas season. I want everybody to make sure you're telling your friends, your family, everyone you love, how much you love them. I know you shouldn't just wait to this time of year to do it, but fuck it. You got a reason. Go do it. Watch all the Christmas movies. Listen to all the Christmas music. You know, do all the things. And I will leave you how I always leave you. Whether it's home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.